I admire the horse shows that are sometimes on TV and the horses that are jumpers. There's a TV show out of Canada that shows them training horses to jump. They train the horse to jump by laying the bar on the ground. And they teach the horse to move just by walking over the bar. And slowly, they raise the bar and the horse jumps. And they raise the bar and the horse jumps. I'm going to contend we're kind of like that. But we're called to be peacemakers with a high bar. And there's a lot of happiness in being a peacemaker. Remember, blessed are the peacemakers, for they're going to be children of God. Blessed, happy, joyful. It's a good thing. It is something that we could easily aspire to be. And that would mean we'd have peace in our lives and we'd spread it to other people. It would go beyond us. And I believe in this room this morning are peacemakers for Kanawha County. Some of you live in Charleston, some of you don't, but for this area, peacemakers. So what would it like to be a peacemaker? What would a peacemaker look like? Well, I'm going to contend that they probably would not look like Alfred Nobel. You know, when the scriptures are carefully examined, nowhere in the scriptures does it say that money will give us peace. And that's what Alfred Nobel's goal was, to use his money, noble intent, but was to use his money for peace. I can't imagine, as successful as he was at doing that, how successful he could have been if he would have used the pattern of Scripture to be a peacemaker. But Alfred Nobel didn't do that because, you see, he was an atheist. He never took advantage of the blessings that God was waiting to give him. God called people of Israel and said, come on, hurry up, let me be kind to you. I'm patiently waiting for you to let me be kind. Now for Nobel, in the goodness that he did, and in the best intentions of his heart, cannot be the bar that we set. And so we want to think for a minute this morning, what does a peacemaker look like? Well, I made a few notes, and I'm going to quickly walk through some characteristics of peacemakers. Now, I'm going to explain or discuss, raise the issues, and what I'd like for you to do as I'm projecting these is I'm not going to focus completely on the idea of peace. I'm going to raise the principle, and I'm going to ask you to apply that principle in your life to peace. And so maybe you'll say, well, this is one that I really need to hang on to. This is one I need to hang on to. So what we're going to do, I want you to pretend like every time I raise a topic, I'm preparing back and I'm going to throw you that topic, that subject. And your job is to reach out and catch it. I throw and you catch. Just practice that one time. I throw and you, there you go. Now, you got one caught and you fold it up and you put it in your pocket. Okay, you got it. Now, you may not need to fold all these up and put them in your pocket. You catch the ones that fit. And then you fold them up, and you'll have them there right near your heart this afternoon, this week. You might want to reflect upon them once in a while. Principles that we're going to live by as peacemakers. And I guess I'd like to start with just the recognition that being a peacemaker is a blessing. Catch the ones that you need. A peacemaker is blessed. And it's easy to forget that. Because in the midst of the difficulties that we sometimes face, and in the challenges that people have in their lives that come our way, it's easy to get caught up in the challenges and the difficulties and not remember this is where I'm blessed. This is the territory. This is the ground I stand on where I'm blessed. And so that first toss out was simply peace is a blessing. And I want you to know that these principles that I'm going to raise all come from the book of Proverbs and a couple from Psalms. And so I'm not going to quote all the scriptures, but if you can live by Proverbs, you're a wise person. Proverbs will make us wise. It takes wisdom to have peace. So I'm going to toss out another one for you. It involves respect. Hey, there we go. Respect is not something that's contagious today. It's not catching on very well. See, we live in a time of disrespect. We disrespect other drivers. Road rage is a terrible thing. It's a lack of respect just for that other driver. We hear it in our language. It's so easy today to call somebody a liar. You hear it all the time. It's a label without respect. It's not an issue of whether it's true or not. But I wonder how we would be as a people if we were able to promote the idea that the folks who are wrong and the folks we disagree with and maybe folks that don't tell the truth can still be and should be respected. We respect people not because they earn it. I don't believe that at all. We respect people because of who we are. We show respect not because they ever earned it, but because of who we are. And peace requires that we have our priorities straight. There you go. Now, it's so easy to get the priorities upside down. I know a family who is disheartened because particularly the son simply grew up to be far from God, far from his family. The priorities in the family got a little bit mixed up. And it started when soccer became more important than the Bible and worship. And soccer became the dominant value, the priority, if you would. And when the priorities are upside down, things go into havoc. And that disturbs the peace. Nobody wants to be arrested for disturbing the peace. It's bad for your reputation. You don't sleep good at night. It puts you in jail, maybe. Do you have peace? A peacemaker needs to help sort out priorities and get the most important things first. And you know, I want to throw you a two-pitcher. The words we use are important. Bong. And we must get good at gracious words. I'm a little bit overwhelmed when I think of how much the scripture has to say about what we say. James put a whole bunch of stuff in there about putting a bridle on the tongue, controlling what we say. Proverbs simply says, gracious and kind words benefit us all. Kindness is not just found in the words we use, but the tone we use to deliver them. Do you know people who can tell you, say good morning to you, and make you mad? You know, because they say it in such a grumpy way. The way we express our thoughts is as important as the thoughts themselves. Sometimes we can make a great point with a question rather than a statement. The words we use will make us peacemakers. Gracious words define a peacemaker. So put that one deep down in your pocket. Hang on to it. sometimes we just have to let things go. You know, not everything is worth having a hassle over. Sometimes you're ahead, you just walk away. You don't have to mean you've agreed with anybody. You're not even expressing disagreement. It's not worth disturbing the peace for. And who are we most likely to disturb the peace of? Probably the people we're closest to, because that's when we kind of let down our hair. And we get home and this person was bad and that person was bad. This went wrong, that went wrong, and we just were smooth through it all. When we get home, we have to let it out. And so we rip and snort and holler and stomp our feet and disturb the peace right in our own home. It is important to note that a big enemy of peace is envy. You know, I want that. I want that. And I get envious. And envy eats my heart out. So Proverbs tells us, you know, let's don't live with envy. Rather, peace is related to what we love. Peace is related to, you know, I think the answer to that in part is it's like we show respect to people we don't think are very respectable. This bigger standard, the higher bar is set when we get this idea of loving our enemies. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. But a mature peacemaker will have the compassion and the personality that they've developed to say to somebody that is caustic and difficult and an enemy, I'm going to share some things and I'm going to treat you in your very best interest, as if it were my interest. Love is acting in the best interest of the people around us. I would say it's important to note that peace is found in safety. If we can make our office, our home, our car ride a safe place, it's going to be a lot easier to be at peace. In a safe place, people can talk about the things that bother them. A safe place is a place where kids can grow up, discuss and talk about where their heart is and where their lives are, and have dialogue in safety. A safe environment is a necessity for peacemakers to be able to create. So a good peacemaker is going to create a safe environment. But last point is that I want you to know that peace has great value. Right out of Psalm 17, peace has great value. Here's how I know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to be the Prince of Peace. He gave his son. That's valuable. And so if we've got something valuable, how do we treat it? How do we treat valuable things? We take care of them. You know, in our house are a few, I would call them antiques, but they're family heirlooms. There's a this and a that, and there's a handful of them. They're probably not spatial to most of the people that come to our house. They're spatial to us. And what do we do with them? Oh, we put them in a prominent place. And we take time to kind of dust them off and give them spatial appeal. You see, we treat them like they're valuable. And that's the way a peacemaker treats peace. It's valuable. And so you've got a pocket full I'll call them gems, that I want to be sure we don't forget about. So take them out every once in a while and read them. Take them out, read about love, and read about kindness and soft words, all the words we use. Fold them back up, keep them close, and take them out again. I'm going to raise 5 key points quickly. And when I raise these 5 points, again, I'll raise the point. I'll talk about it in the context of peace. But focus your thinking with me on this concept of peace, but recognize that these principles go beyond being a peacemaker. They go to how we live our life all the time. And the reason that I put it that way is you can't be a peacemaker sometimes. You have to be a peacemaker all the time. Sometimes it doesn't work as well as others. We're not responsible for the outcome of our peacemaking efforts. We are responsible to make ourselves available to be kind and to promote peace. And the first point I'd like to make is that what we say is important. We've talked about that briefly, but I want to lay that as the foundation. What we say is important. And so having the apt word on a spatial occasion is truly a blessing. Timeliness is essential. We pick words that lift people up, that don't condemn. Actually, words sometimes that don't reflect how we feel. I've found that my feelings will get me in trouble sometimes. I go to somebody's house and they serve me a piece of pie that I really don't think my dog would eat. Nasty pie. Is it necessary for me to say to this kind lady who made the pie, "Boy, that sure is nasty. Oh, that's awful. That's the worst pie I ever ate." You see, we wouldn't do it that way, but we would frequently choose words that reflect how we feel when our feelings are not relevant to what we need to say. When a person says, "I just say what I think," well, that tells me that they say a lot of things that's not worth saying, that are going to be hurtful. Saying what we think is not helpful. And so what we say is important. But I'm going to contend that what we do is more important. What we do is more important than what we say. I tell you, I'll meet you at 2:00 and we're going to build you a new set of stairs up the front of your house. Hey, those are great words. And 2:00 comes and goes, and I'm not there, and there are enough stairs built. The actions speak a lot louder than the words. And so when we say to a person, "You know, I'm sorry you're in this predicament, and I'll be praying for you," we pretty well leave them alone. When we can put our arm around them and say, "Let's walk through this difficulty together, and I'm here every step. Let's have coffee in the morning. Come help me with this project. We're going down to the school and serve some lunches to kids Saturday morning." Actions speak so much louder than words. So the words are important. Actions are more important. I'm going to contend that what we think is more important than what we say or what we do. See, because we're not what we think we are, but what we think we are. We're not what we think we are, but what we think we are. We think about noble things. We think about joyful things. And what's going to come out of our heart? Joyful, thoughtful, noble words and deeds. And so peacemakers will focus not just on their words, not just on their deeds, and actually not just on their thoughts, because what we know is important. And I'll contend that what we know is more important than what we think or what we say or what we do. Knowledge is a powerful thing. They say it can't be done, but I know it can. My knowledge is greater than what they say. Sometimes it's difficult to see the big picture of the circumstances of life. And when we only know a little portion of what's going on, it limits us. When we can have the knowledge of the big picture, then that moves us in the direction of being a peacemaker and a servant of God. So knowledge is important. It's important in every aspect of life. If I go to a brain surgeon, what do I want him to know or her to know? I want them to know everything there is to know about my brain and how to fix it. Take the tumor out, do whatever it takes. Their knowledge is important. And it's more important that I rely on their knowledge than I am the fact that they might be a little bit difficult in words or in style, but knowledge is more important than that. And finally, more important than what we say or what we do or what we think or what we know is what we believe. If we believe that our neighbor is a rascal and they're difficult and we'll never get along, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be difficulty. If we believe my neighbor's a challenge right now, and I believe if I go over and take them a cookie and say, I just been thinking about the importance of being a sharing neighbor, and I don't know that I've done my part as much as I could to be a sharing neighbor. And I want to simply say, here's a cookie to symbolize the sharing that I have in my heart. I haven't told them they were bad about anything, but I believe that things can be better, and I act on my beliefs. You know, I was fortunate in school to have four ladies in my life that were critical. Miss Dye was my first grade teacher. Miss Klein was my second grade teacher. Mrs. Roberts was my third grade teacher. And Mrs. Prunty was my fourth grade teacher. And those four teachers had a powerful influence on my life. I was poor. I looked poor. I'm not as poor as I look, probably. But we were country people. And you could easily say, that Charlie, he's a good kid, but he'll never get very much in life. We'll help him along some. Those four ladies had a quality that set me up for the future because they believed in me. Now, they knew what kind of a student I was. They knew my background. They knew my parents. They knew me pretty well. But what they knew was not nearly as important as what they believed. And they believed in me. And that's going to be the standard that will ultimately affect us. We can know the scripture. We can actually do the scripture. We can do acts of kindness, and we can follow the scriptures on what kind of a marriage to have or how to raise kids. But if we don't believe it's true, we don't believe that it's God-inspired, it changes our lives. If we believe it's true, we don't always have to know why it's true. I don't know why a lot of things are true, but I believe they are. And so the challenge for us as peacemakers and potential peacemakers is to believe in people. Believe the nobleness that can be created. Most scoundrels can be better than they are. And most noble people can get better too. And have greater peace. It's our challenge to bring peace. So what does a peacemaker look like? That's where we started this morning. What's a peacemaker look like? Well, they don't look like Alfred Nobel. And they don't look like, if you'll remember back in the days of the Old West, what was the gun that the marshal carried? It was a peacemaker. That's the gun that was used. And that's not the peacemaker that we're talking about. That's not what a peacemaker looks like. A peacemaker does not beat people over the head and say, and be peaceful. See, the peacemaker looks like the Prince of Peace. When God gave us Jesus and said he's the Prince of Peace and gives us a blessing of peace, and we pursue that and we live it, we have that peace in our lives founded on keeping our eyes on Jesus, about living a life of love and being immersed in peace. We look like the Prince of Peace. So if you want to know what a peacemaker looks like, I believe there's your standard. And that's the bar. It's a high bar. That's not the bar that that's not the bar of Alfred Nobel. That's not the bar that we see as we begin our walk with Jesus. It's a bar set for mature Christians who have not become complacent. The biggest enemy, I believe, of maturing and growing and being ultimate peacemakers is complacency with the way things are now. Because things are pretty good. And the peacemaker says, you know, I'm going to live a life that extends that peace to the folks around me and the folks I don't like very well and even folks I don't know but are driving down the road with beside of me. And if we have that belief, that will guide, actually, based on the belief, it will guide what we say and what we think and what we know. It is the foundation. It is the essential part of being a peacemaker. And we say, that's so hard. And God said in Matthew, you're blessed when you do that. You're set apart. You've got a special glory that comes from being a peacemaker. So I guess I'd like to shut it down by simply saying, let's accept the blessings that come from having a life of peace and then sharing that with the world around us as peacemakers. One of the things I always try to do, or frequently do, is to say, you know, I may have raised some things this morning that we need to talk about some more. And I know my wife will be talking till her last dog dies, you know, so we'll be here. And if this is something we'd like to talk about a little bit more, you flag me down, because we can together change the world. And if we can be helpful even in a public way now, with the starting out on peace, extending our peace, building our peace, or focusing on being a peacemaker, we can pray about it. We can do whatever we need to about it. We invite you to contemplate those things. Keep those treasures in your pocket. Take them out and read them. And if we can be helpful, come as we stand and sing.
His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we Jesus, will sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will be home. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the street of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Really enjoyed your comments this morning. You too, Terry. Thought you did a fine job. Richard wants all those on the committee for the ministry to meet up here, up front here, for probably about 5 minutes or so. He had some stuff to say. I want everybody to remember those who are in the search for the minister. Pray for them. Pray for each of us. Pray for that God will bring a minister here that we can all work with, and that He can work with all of us. So please keep that in your mind as we offer prayer as we leave. Heavenly Father, as we bow before Your throne of grace, we come thanking You, Lord, for another day of life You bless us with, for the opportunity we had to be here this morning at this worship service. We pray, God, that You'd remember the many sick that we have here. Remember Chris's family, Moore family, Linda Bailey. There's so many, Lord. We pray the healing power upon them. Please, Lord, be with us as we search for a minister. Pray that You'd open our hearts and our minds. We'd be receptive to Your will, not ours. May Your Spirit guide us and help us that the right person would be here. Pray for all those on the committee and that's involved in it. Please be with us. We pray that You'd go with us to our separate homes, watch over and protect us, and bring us back again. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.